Welcome to the American Awakening. Michael Herzog coming with you live from Round Rock, Texas. Today is the 11th day, Wednesday of April 2011. And a couple of announcements, as I always do. First of all, on the Freedom to Fascism, I was giving out, as everybody knows, the free DVD, just for simply dropping me an email. I've got a hold on that because I'm trying to get somebody in here to run off a bunch of more copies so I can keep distributing them. But until that time, I'm not going to be giving any out because I don't have any. Again, I want to remind everybody about the truck out on April 23rd to 25th. The truckers out there want to surround the state capitol or the federal capitol if they happen to be in Washington, D.C. And this is all based upon the progressive implementation of the North American Union. So this is a statement that we don't want these Mexican truckers here. Now, as far as guests, I had a guest coming on today in the second hour, but unfortunately he had to reschedule because he stuck out of town, and put him on for Tuesday of next week. And speaking of guests, tomorrow, I have no guests today, so this is going to be open line, but the management just handed me an article that I'm going to go through here in the first hour, and it's very serious. I'm going to go into it in quite a bit of detail, and I'd like to get some input from the listening audience out there because some of you may don't know about it. Most of you probably don't. I didn't know about it until they just handed it to me, so I'm going to go through it. It's very serious. It's the latest legislation that has been proposed by Dennis Kucinich. Let's see. Coming up tomorrow, I've got – remember, I had Rosalind Peterson on a few weeks ago. And at that point in time, I only had a one-hour show, and I got just lambasted with phone calls. We didn't, Rosalind and I didn't have time to go into any great depth like she wanted to do. So now that my show has been extended to 2 hours, I've got her coming back up for the whole show tomorrow. So she can go into all of the pertinent information on the, not chemtrails, but plumes. Remember, plumes or chemtrails are a conspiracy theory word, and plumes and or aerosols are more politically correct, and they don't call us conspiracy theorists if we say that. Friday, I've got Judy Andreas coming up. She's got a book out called Judaisms. Be curious to have her on the show because she's always fun and has a lot to say. Next week, we're going to have, since it's tax time, and I believe they've extended the date on the income tax filing deadline to the 17th of April, because the 15th falls on a Sunday. So I thought it would be appropriate to have a tax expert on here by the name of Robert Clarkson. He'll be up April 16th for the whole 2 hours, and we'll talk about him and his website and what he's got to offer people. Also have later on Alan Watt coming up, who has the website Cutting Through the Matrix. I got an email yesterday. Actually, I got a, I believe it was a telephone call and an email. I got a call and a guest, or not a guest, but a caller by the name of Dean, who was talking about the foreign troops on our soil. And he directed me to this website. And as soon as I pulled it up, I realized that I'd seen it before. So I went ahead and called Alan Watt. And he's coming on next week. So got a break coming up. When I get back, I'm going to go into this latest legislation by Dennis Kucinich. You're listening to Michael Herzog, American Awakening, republicbroadcasting.org, 12180 shortwave. See you in three.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Okay, we're back. Not ready to make nice, not ready to back down, and here I am with you again. Okay, I'm going to get into this. Now, let me give you a little background on what's going on here. I received this about 20 minutes before I went on the air, and I immediately got on the phone and tried to get a hold of Ted Pike, who, as we know, is the activist for the hate crimes legislation. I wanted to get his take on it, but he wasn't in, so he may call in. I'm not sure. Anyway, this latest legislation, this latest proposal is H.R. 808, and it's proposed by Dennis Kucinich for himself, along with about, oh, I would say 30 to 40 other congressmen, and it's called, they're proposing a new department. As you know, we have the Department of Defense, Department of Transportation, Department of Education, and so forth. But Mr. Kucinich is proposing a brand new department, which is to be called the Department of Peace and Nonviolence. Interesting. And to me, it looks as if it would almost be an end run around the hate crimes legislation bill that they've proposed. I'd like to get some input from the callers or from the listeners out there as to whether you've heard anything about this. I'm going to go through this in some pretty elaborate detail. But if you'd like to call in and give your thoughts on it as I go through it, or if you know something more about it, because, again, as I said, it was just handed to me, so we're going to go through this together. The call-in number is 800-313-9443. Feel free to give me a call if you have a comment on it. But let me start this in. In the House of Representatives, Mr. Kucinich for himself, along with, as I said, 30 to 40 other Congress people, a bill to establish a Department of Peace and Nonviolence, be it enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America and Congress assembled. And then I'll go through it, the table of contents of it. It's to establish a Department of Peace and Nonviolence. Let's see, number two would be responsibilities and powers, the principal officers, the Office of Peace Education and Training, Office of Domestic Peace Activities, Office of International Peace Activities, Office of Technology for Peace, Office of Arms Control and Disarmament, Office of Peaceful Coexistence and Nonviolent Conflict Resolution, Office of Human Rights and Economic Rights, Intergovernmental Advisory Council on Peace and Nonviolence, consultation required, and authorization of appropriations. So I'm going to start with number 101, the establishment of Department of Peace and Nonviolence. And as I read through this, I think you're going to find this is very Orwellian in nature. It's beyond, it is very, very scary what this guy is proposing. So Section 101A, establishment. There is hereby established a Department of Peace and Nonviolence hereinafter in this act referred to as the, quote, department, which shall, one, be a cabinet-level department in the executive branch of the federal government, and two, be dedicated to peacemaking and the study of conditions that are conducive to both domestic and international peace. The Secretary of Peace and Nonviolence, there shall be at the head of the department a Secretary of Peace and Nonviolence, hereinafter in this act referred to as the Secretary, who shall be appointed by the President with the advice and consent of the Senate. Their mission, the Department shall hold peace as an organizing principle, coordinating service to every level of American society, endeavor to promote justice and democratic principles to expand human rights, strengthen non-military means for peacemaking, promote the development of human potential, work to create peace, prevent violence, divert from armed conflict, use field-tested programs and develop new structures in nonviolent dispute resolutions, take a proactive, strategic approach in the development of policies that promote national and international conflict prevention, nonviolent intervention, mediation, peaceful resolution of conflict, and structured mediation of conflict, to address the matters both domestic and international in scope, and to encourage the development of initiatives from local communities, religious groups, and non-governmental organizations. Now, that sounds really fluffy and halfway nice on the surface, but let me go through this. Number 102, the responsibilities and power. In general, the Secretary shall, quote, one, work proactively and interactively with each branch of the federal government on all policy matters relating to conditions of peace. Number two, to serve as a delegate to the National Security Council. Number three, to call on the intellectual and spiritual wealth of the people of the United States and seek participation in its administration and in its development of policy from private, public, and non-governmental organizations. And number four, to monitor and analyze causative principles of conflict and make policy recommendations for developing and maintaining peaceful conduct. B, domestic responsibilities. The Secretary shall develop policies that address domestic violence, including spousal abuse, child abuse, and mistreatment of the elderly. Now, let's talk about that. Develop policies. As we all know, a lot of times they'll tell us it's the law, and it's not really the law, it's a policy. They already have a number of Orwellian policies enacted. For example, with CPS, some of the policies that they have wind up costing people tens of thousands of dollars when their kids get taken away from them, and they have to go to court, jump through a lot of hoops, and it takes them sometimes years to get their children back, if ever. And as some of you listeners know, or a lot of you, I've had people, guests on my show, that have witnessed to exactly that. So when they say develop new policies, the policies that they already have are Orwellian enough. So they're talking about developing new policies that address domestic violence. What kind of new policies are they speaking of? That's my question. Number two, to create new policies, again, and incorporate existing programs that reduce drug and alcohol abuse. What exactly does that mean? Now, that's why I say I'd like to get some input from the callers, because the way I'm reading it, it's almost like thought crime. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to take a call. Linda from Minnesota, you're on with Michael. Go ahead.
Yes, Michael. This Department of Peace instrument that you're talking about, I sent for that a few years ago, and when there was another talk show host on RBN Live, he isn't there anymore. Mm-hmm. I sent him that information. But here is something else that goes along with this Department of Peace.
Okay.
This comes out of a book called Behold the Fig Tree. It's about Latter-day Prophecy and so on.
Okay.
This is called the Passage of the Freedom from Religious Persecution Act. Now, that's doublespeak because it doesn't mean freedom for religion. It means freedom from religion. This bill was presented as H.R. 2431, and I believe it was passed in 1999. And of course, Bill Clinton was the one that had this bill passed. But here's generally what the bill does.
Okay, well, before you go into that, let me stop you right there, because I'm a bit confused, because this is new legislation that's just been introduced under H.R. 808, Linda.
Mm-hmm.
So is this something that has, you know, been copied from what you're speaking of? Or are you saying that, I mean, there has been legislation passed and it's still there? Because if it has, then what is this?
Well, I know that Bill Clinton passed many executive orders, mm-hmm. which were unconstitutional, and they're the same same executive orders that George Bush is now using under Homeland Security to take away our freedoms.
Okay.
But this issue here with this passage of the Freedom from Religious Act, there's just three short paragraphs.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Now I'll tell you what, if it takes longer than 3 minutes, we'll go to a break, but I'll hold you over.
Okay. Well, this was established by the State Department Commission to Monitor Religion, of which Robert Seipel of the World Vision is now the head. Madeleine Albright was involved, the Council on Foreign Relations. Who else was involved here? It will be under the United Nations, and the President of the United States will be obligated to report to the United Nations Declaration on Human Rights concerning this law. And then in the next paragraph, it talks about Michael Horowitz from the Hudson Institute, Herman Kahn, the RAND Corporation, Michael Horowitz, Nina Shea from the CFR. All of these people are involved in it. Now, here's what it really means, though. It says the effect of this legislation is that the United States government or the UN government can declare any group of people in violation of persecuting another group's religious rights, thereby leveling fines, incarcerating, or ostracizing a person just for belonging to such a group. For example, if the practice of homosexuality becomes defined as a religion, then any group opposing homosexuality could be classed as violating their religious rights, and then any of its members could be universally fined, jailed, or monetarily ostracized anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Also, humanism is considered a religion.
Okay. Well, the question that I have then, this is what you have just read to me. You're saying that it was an executive order? Are you saying that it was legislation that was passed in the 90s?
No, this was H.R.
Mm-hmm.
House Resolution Bill 2431. And I have written down here, to the best of my knowledge, it was passed in 1999 of April.
Okay, 2431. All right. Hold with me, Linda, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to go to a break. This is Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming with you live from Round Rock, Texas. I've got Linda on the line talking about H.R. 2431, which we'll be back in three. You're listening to republicbroadcasting.org and 12180 shortwave.
Mm-hmm. Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. CORE Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit CoreDocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using CORE Documents' HRA concept. CORE Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let CORE Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for CORE Documents or see us at CoreDocuments.com. That's CORE, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog with the American Awakening. We got a short segment this time, about 4 or 5 minutes. We've got Linda on the line talking about H.R. 2431 that was evidently, Linda, I Googled it while we were on break, and it says that it was voted in Congress. It was passed through the Congress. Now, I don't know if it passed the Senate. Let's see. It says the Freedom of Religious Persecution Act of 1998 was passed by an overwhelming House majority, 375 to 41. Okay. Now, do you have anything that says it was enacted into law?
No, I don't. This is just a statement here in a book that I have.
Okay.
But, yeah, that would be interesting to check this out.
And I agree with you. I mean, what I'm looking at here, my question would be, if that were instituted, then what is this legislation? And it is legislation to enact a new department, mm-hmm. like the Department of Defense or the Department of Education, a brand new department for peace and nonviolence, and maybe add to it, because what scares me about this is they're talking about creating, quote, new policies.
Mm-hmm.
And as you and I both know, when they start talking about, I mean, that's a broad scale. You know, they have policies that they use right now that aren't laws that we tell us, or that they tell us are laws. So what new policies are they speaking of? But that is interesting what you brought up, and I will research that to see if
I don't even remember what bill this was or what law it was, but it was passed in about 1962 or 63, and that was a treaty that the United States had made with the United Nations. Mm-hmm. And even, what I see happening is that many of these laws that they passed a long time ago, they're reestablishing them. And while some of us may not, we may not see it, but where maybe a farmer here and there or one individual may get caught up in it, they haven't shown that heavy hammer yet. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
In other words, they're not totally implementing it yet, but the laws are there.
Right. It's for example, it's like they will carry out certain things like domestic spying that goes back all the way to before 9/11, goes back to 1996 because Bill Clinton was doing it. But then they passed the legislation to make it legal later.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I agree with you. That could very well be what they're doing. They're just putting it in print, and they're outlining the details of what they've already been doing, but now they're going to make it law.
Mm-hmm. And all of this is connected to Agenda 21 and the North American Union, mm-hmm. and then to merge us in with the European Union, and then to bring us under the United Nations.
Right, because
with this.
Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, well, with this global paganist religion.
Right, and as I read down here, you actually got a little bit ahead of me. As I read down here in Section C, which I'll get into in a minute, it talks about the international responsibilities, which would tie in perfectly with the North American Union and also under Agenda 21.
Yeah. Anyway, appreciate your program.
Well, thank you, Linda, and I appreciate your call, and I appreciate your input, and I will check into this, okay?
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Okay, back to where I was. Develop new policies. That word policy always scares me because they use that word policy and then they call it law. But anyway, number four, to develop policies to address violence against criminals. Number five, to analyze their existing policies. To employ successful field-tested programs. And develop new approaches for dealing with the implements of violence, including gun-related violence and the overwhelming presence of handguns. I mean, there's all kinds of things that I could read into this. What exactly are they talking about? New approaches for dealing with the implements of violence? What are you telling me? Are you telling me that lead-weighted flashlights and stun guns aren't enough? And when you start talking about gun-related violence and the overwhelming presence of handguns, what are we talking about there? Are we talking about the steps to eliminate handguns totally? Number six, to develop new programs that relate to the societal challenges of school violence, gangs, racial or ethnic violence, violence against gays and lesbians, and police-community relations disputes. To make policy recommendations to the Attorney General regarding civil rights and labor law. To assist in the establishment and funding of community-based violence prevention programs, including violence prevention counseling and peer mediation in schools. Now, wait until I read down a little further here, and it's really going to start getting scary. To counsel and advocate on behalf of women victimized by violence. To provide for public education programs and counseling strategies concerning hate crimes. To promote racial, religious, and ethnic tolerance. And just like Linda was saying, this H.R. 2431 that went through back in 1998, what exactly are they doing here? It looks to me like they are implementing the machinery to make it easy for them to declare a thought crime. And I'll get into that a little more in a bit here, but let me read on. To finance local, now listen closely to this, to finance local community initiatives that can draw on neighborhood resources to create peace projects that facilitate the development of conflict resolution at a national level and thereby inform and inspire national policy and provide ethical-based and value-based analysis to the Department of Defense. Now, neighborhood resources. You know what that sounds like to me? And as I read on here, got a break coming up. Okay, well, let's stop right there. We're going to go to a break for three at the bottom of the hour. This is Michael Herzog of the American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas, republicbroadcasting.org, 12180 shortwave, and I'll see you in three.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog with the American Awakening. We're talking about this newest legislation put forth by Dennis Kucinich, H.R. 808, Department of Peace and Nonviolence Act. This is 13 pages long. I'm not going to read the whole thing or it would take the whole show, but I am going to put forth some highlights of it. It goes into some stuff about international responsibilities where it says the secretary shall and advise the secretary of defense, blah, blah, blah. And there's a lot of minutiae in here which really doesn't, from the looks of it, affect us per se. So what I want to do is skip over that. I want to get into some of the things that looks like it is going to affect us. Educational responsibilities. The secretary shall develop a peace education curriculum, which shall include studies of the civil rights movement in the United States and throughout the world, with special emphasis on how individual endeavor and involvement have contributed to advancements in peace and justice, and peace agreements and circumstances in which peaceful intervention has worked to stop conflict. In cooperation with the Secretary of Education, commission the development of such curricula and make such curricula available to local school districts and enable the utilization of peace education objectives at all elementary and secondary schools in the United States, and offer incentives in the form of grants and training to encourage the development of state peace curricula and assist schools in applying for such curricula. Now, what does that sound like to you? That sounds like teaching the children from elementary school level, okay, how to not only, tolerate, I guess you would say, it's promoting gays, homosexuality. It's promoting it's propagandizing them into acceptance of gays, of religious differences and so forth, which on the surface, that's okay. However, I smell a rat here. I smell thought crimes at work. So let me continue on with this. And you'll see what I mean as I read on. Work with educators to equip students to become skilled in achieving peace through reflection and facilitate instruction in the ways of peaceful conflict resolution. To maintain a site on the internet for the purposes of soliciting and receiving ideas for the development of peace from the wealth of political, social, and cultural diversity. Proactively engage in critical thinking capabilities of grade school, high school, and college students and teachers through the internet and other media and issue periodic reports concerning submissions. Create and establish a peace academy which shall be modeled after the military service academies. Do you see where this is going here, folks? Okay, they're talking about implementing this in the schools along with grants, okay, to model this, to propagandize our children and model it after a military service academy, the word military. Now, you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of these technical schools that you see advertised on television all the time where you used to see computer programmers and certain jobs like that. They're being phased out, and now they are promoting detention officers and FBI agents, and all of it is centered around government, and it's centered around control. So as I read this here, and it says to be modeled after military service academies, they're talking about modeling our school, our public school system, after a military service academy. That, I don't know about you, but that scares me to death. To provide a four-year course of instruction in peace education, after which the graduates will be required to serve 5 years in public service in programs dedicated to domestic or international nonviolent conflict resolution, and to provide grants for peace studies departments in colleges and universities throughout the United States. Now, you tell me, does that not sound like indoctrinating them into being, stoolies, if you will, okay? Little tattletales, little ninnies, okay, for thought crimes? You know, if they overhear somebody talking about the fact that you don't like a gay or they shouldn't be in whatever, in a gay marriage or whatever, and reporting that to the authorities. I don't know. You tell me. Call in number is 800-313-9443. I'm open for input on this, but I'm going to tell you, this is scary. It's going to principal officers. There shall be in the department an assistant secretary for peace education and training, an assistant secretary for domestic peace activities, for international peace activities, for the technology of peace. Get this one, an assistant secretary for arms control and disarmament. What do they mean here? Is this the next step towards taking our guns away from us? An assistant secretary for peaceful coexistence and nonviolent conflict resolution, an assistant secretary for human and economic rights, and a general counsel. Section 104, I'm going to skip the rest of this because there's a lot of minutiae in here, but let's get down to section 104. There shall be in the Department of Office of Peace and Education and Training, the head of which shall be the Assistant Secretary for Peace Education and Training. The Assistant Secretary for Peace Education and Training shall carry out those functions of the department relating to the creation, encouragement, and impact of peace education and training at the elementary, secondary, university, and postgraduate levels, including the development of a peace academy. Is that like a military academy? I don't know. You tell me. Peace curriculum. The Assistant Secretary of Peace Education and Training, in cooperation with the Secretary of Education, shall develop a peace curriculum and supporting materials for distribution to departments of education in each state and territory in the United States. The peace curriculum shall include the building of communicative peace skills, nonviolent conflict resolution skills, and other objectives to increase the knowledge of the peace processes. Then it goes on into grants. To create a community peace block grant program under which grants shall be provided to not-for-profit, community, and non-governmental organizations, filtering down into your what, city council meetings, PTA meetings, or whatever? Non-governmental organizations for the purposes of developing creative, innovative neighborhood programs for nonviolent conflict resolution and local peace building initiatives. This stinks to high heaven, folks. Office of Domestic Peace Activities. There shall be in the Department an Office of Domestic Peace Activities, the head of which shall be the Assistant Secretary for Domestic Peace Activities. The Assistant Secretary for Domestic Peace Activities shall carry out those functions in the Department affecting domestic peace activities, including the development of policies that increase awareness about intervention and counseling on domestic violence and conflict. Increase awareness. Interesting words that they use here. Responsibilities. The Assistant Secretary for Domestic Peace Activities shall develop policy alternatives for the treatment of drug and alcohol abuse. What exactly do they mean by policy alternatives? What are the policies now for drug and alcohol abuse? Okay, I don't know. Has anybody been subject to an arrest for a DUI or a DWI and been indoctrinated into the system and gone through the process and seen what their particular policy is? And they're talking about policy alternatives. This is very broad. It's very non-committal. Okay, it opens up the possibility of any number of alternatives that they could come up with. To develop new policies and build on existing programs responsive to the prevention of crime, including the development of community policing strategies. Now, what do they mean by that? Community policing strategies and peaceful settlement skills among police and other public safety officials, and develop community-based strategies for celebrating diversity and promoting tolerance. Now, see, they insert these little buzzwords here. Community policing strategies, neighborhood awareness. You know what that sounds like to me? That sounds to me like that they are indoctrinating people from students from education at the elementary school level all the way up through college to be little snitches, for lack of a better word. I got William calling. William, you're on the line with Michael. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Mike. I'm a shortwave listener and first-time caller calling from the United States.
Welcome.
And I wanted to comment on your open telephones, first of all, your open line, that through the evolution of our U.S. bicameral quasi-governmental branches, that coming from Theodore Roosevelt, deceased, defunct President Theodore Roosevelt, and then Franklin Delano Roosevelt, we had a forestry service here through our Department of the Interior, which is badly in need of being refunded. It would get people back into the universities to learn things such as land stewardship, be credited through accredited courses, bring our gold standard back, our treasury gold standard back, things that actually work.
Mm-hmm.
And what I have been observing going back to deceased, defunct, then President Nixon, he took us off of that. That helped us set the scale
right
of where we are right now. We have other groups, the Teamsters and what have you, who have also abused this. We have a lot of people who are saying, do this, do this, do that, do that, do that, instead of having a uniform code that would embrace U.S. citizens, first of all. We wouldn't have the illegal alien problems that we have. We would still be able to bring in foreign nationals in professorships to teach students in the area of physics, in forestry, and many different subject issues as far as degrees, baccalaureates, and what have you, status, Nobel laureate winners. And right now, I'd like to ask you, we don't have that right now. Our industry has been leaving the United States, our manufacturing, our enterprising, but something that was in collective where people were actually participating in manufacturing, nuclear power, all different kinds of good things, and even in our arts, the humanities and what have you, these things are lacking right now as well.
Right.
Through our university systems, our accredited U.S. bicameral, U.S. Department of Education, university, community colleges, accredited community colleges, high schools, et cetera, vocational programs, things to actually teach people how to work with their hands. Our forestry service right now is run as though it is a privilege for U.S. citizens to even own a house. And now we see the results of what is occurring with real estate, what is occurring with complete neighborhoods, whether it be in Michigan or wherever it is, that have been gutted out, are just sitting vacant. We've had drug problems, illicit contraband and what have you. And these are things that need to be addressed so that citizens feel like they're a part of where they are again, and are going to understand why the Second World War occurred, the New Deal during and after the Great Depression, and what can that, thereby then recircumscribing U.S. citizens to want to wear a uniform or want to wear the uniform to feel like they're a part of where they are.
Well, I agree with that. Tell me, are you a longtime listener of RBN, William?
I am not. I came across your broadcast actually yesterday evening.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So you're a new RBN listener.
Yeah.
Well, okay. And the reason I ask is because you're saying, well, you know, we need to take steps to get it back to where people feel like they're, you know, proud to serve in the military and, directing them into technical fields and so forth. If you were, there's a reason why I asked the question, William, if you were a longtime listener to RBN, you would realize or you would know that what we broadcast on Republic Broadcast is the real agenda, what's really going on, not the propaganda that's put out by mainstream news, because what you see on mainstream news is an illusion. It is not the truth, okay? There is an agenda here. There is an agenda by design to bring down this country, if you will, to a third world status. And they're doing that with immigration, these immigrants pouring across the border. Okay, there is no checks and balances for them. As a matter of fact, our President George Bush is trying to, get amnesty for them. And there's a bill, the guest worker program, which is basically amnesty. Okay, but there is an agenda behind this, and it's not a national agenda. It's an international agenda. This thing that I'm reading here, this H.R. 808, where they wanted they're proposing a new Department of Peace and Nonviolence, that, as the previous caller called in, Linda, yes, that falls under the United Nations Agenda 21.
Okay. And that's something that could be addressed with also recircumscribing the United Nations back to the United States, rechartering it, going back to the basic principle of what it was really intended, going back to defunct President Woodrow Wilson,
mm-hmm.
and bringing something about, and I'm not speaking specifically, the militia is described in the Constitution of the United States with the Bill of Rights, et cetera, and our commerce clauses, but to bring our Forest Service back, to rebuild the United States, to bring our health services back so that we're, if not doing away with completely, and that includes bringing back our Panama Canal, which was given away, which the U.S. citizens were never, the governed were never consented. There are a pattern of things, and these are things that need to be done again so that citizens feel like they're a part of where they are again instead of, you know, what, and I'm not going to use any names. I don't want to do that on the air as far as our elected and appointed officials. But I will say that whoever is listening out there, our Congress in our elections, and appointments to offices, emoluments, et cetera, need to take need to come back down to earth here to the United States, and then thereby developing trade again. We've had a lot of espionage. There have been a lot of things that have taken place in our system that, never should have occurred. Never, even if we feel like we've come to a point in the United States, not selling it away, not giving it away, something in trade. We have sent so much money overseas, money that could have been applied here, instead of the divisiveness that the founding fathers talked about, a divisive atmosphere. And I've been hearing what your broadcast is saying, and it comes down to that, doing away with the divisiveness, where people are human beings, we are guided by our Creator, and this is really where we're at.
Okay, William, you want me to hold you over?
I got
a break coming up. It sounds to me like you want a constitutional republic. You need to keep listening, because that's what we're pushing to get back. This is
we also need a.
Wait a minute. I'll hold you over. I've got to go to a break. Okay, I'll hold you on though. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, will be back in three. Republicbroadcasting.org.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Back, Michael Herzog with The American Awakening. We're on the line with William. This is a short segment. William, have you got? I had to hold you over for a break, but have you got some closing thoughts, sir?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
but
go ahead.
What I would like all U.S. citizens to do, especially those that are voting age, is to write all of their congressmen, both on the U.S. bicameral quasi-government branches, House side and Senate side, write them and say we want a referendum, an immediate referendum on a constitutional conventions to turn things around for our liberties as well as our well, the term used, securities. I think that would be the real solution. Without that referendum, things are going to continue as they are. This is something, if we, you know, peel in a nice way, not threatening, but in a nice way, through our electoral colleges, electoral colleges, and appeal for an immediate constitutional convention referendum. Not to be put on the ballot necessarily, but to call for that referendum. We have the right to petition our government for redress of grievances, and the time is now.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's only a handful that I know of congressmen that aren't bought off by lobbyists and so forth. There's a gentleman running for president by the name of Ron Paul, who is all in favor of a constitutional republic. You put out the announcement for a constitutional convention. I don't have time to go into it right now. I'm not sure that there's time for that. But
there is. We have plenty of time. We're alive right now. We're here. This is our government. Let's bring our government home.
Okay. You made the announcement. Thank you for
you
the call.
You have a nice day now.
Thank you. Donna from Massachusetts. Okay. You're on with Michael. Go ahead.
Yes, Michael. The gentleman who was just on, I think he needs to listen to RBN a little more.
Well, that's why I say you made the announcement. Yeah. He's a new listener, so you have to give him a little leeway. But if I will tell you, and you can say too, William, keep listening to RBN, and as you as the layers of the onion are peeled away from this matrix that you're propagandizing to believing that you live, okay, you'll find that there's a lot of issues going on that you need to be aware of before you talk about constitutional convention, because,
right,
as you know, Donna, that's not going to happen.
If we call for a constitutional convention, God only knows what will happen.
Right.
A constitutional convention.
Mm-hmm.
The point I wanted to make, Michael, is that in regards to this educational bill that's on the table, it's not surprising, but I think parents really have to start taking control of their own children's education. It's the parents who are really responsible for that. I mean, I have a good career. I'm college educated. But I stayed home with my kids for several years.
Did you homeschool them, Donna?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And again, here we go. And I agree with you. That's a great
point. It hurt us. It did. I mean, we didn't buy anything for years because I did not work. And it was a struggle. But I know that my kids, all three of them, can stand on their own two feet and think for themselves. And they understand the concepts behind the Constitution. They know their history, the real history,
mm-hmm,
of this country, the founding of it, et cetera.
You want me to hold you over? Got a break coming up again. Top of the hour,
sure,
break. Okay. I'll hold on over. This is Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. And you're listening to republicbroadcasting.org, 12180 shortwave. Second hour coming up. Stick with me.
I paid a price, and I'll keep paying.
It's